Jesus. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Jenny, if you'd like to come up, we'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you now for Jenny. We pray that you'd bless her. We thank you for the words that you've given her. May she speak your truth to us. And may the words be yours and not hers.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. It is so lovely to be here this morning, to be able to share with you something more of the deep love of God in Christ. General John Gowans was a general of the Salvation Army, and he wrote a most wonderful, simple chorus, a chorus that touched my heart very shortly after I actually became a Christian. And I'd like to read it to you. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. This hope possesses me, his Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. Without the Spirit of God within us, around us, upholding us, we can never reflect the beauty of the character of Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, he often told stories, stories that related so closely to what was happening around the people. And as you might know, in the Middle East, the vine is a very, very precious plant. It produces fruit that produces wine. And so this story that Jesus related, this idea, was one that would touch the hearts and the minds of the people of his day, and they would understand more fully what he was getting at. When they planted the vines, they were planted deep and they were watered well. And I love it when Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the one that really holds. And the lovely thing is, said Jesus, not only am I the vine, but the gardener is my Father, God. In other words, he as a person was the one who would bring the people to God. But then he said something very, very sharp, that the gardener would cut off any branch that did not produce fruit. There are many people who come to say they know Christ, and I do believe they have a first little inkling of their need of Jesus, but they do not commit. And they are like the branches that were attached to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. We are built into the body of Christ, the stem of the vine. And we draw from that vine the sap, the strength, the inspiration that Jesus alone through God can give. And he says this, if you remain in me, if you remain like the vine with the branches growing, you remain strong in me, you will progress and you will bear fruit, fruit that will matter. Jesus also said, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Lovely thing about Jesus, the Father guided him. God the Father always gave Jesus the words to speak. God the Father gave to Jesus the actions he should do. He did nothing, he said nothing that his Father did not guide him. And then the lovely thing is he passes that on to us. And we have Jesus by the Holy Spirit who guides us and governs us in our lives. If he said, if you remain in me, you remain in my love. And he said too, greater love has this, that greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That does not mean that you have to die for your friends. It means that you live to honor them, to serve them, to encourage them, to be like Christ to them. And we can only do that if, as the vine's branches draw the sap from the stem, we stay close to Jesus himself. The lovely thing is about Jesus that he longs for us to show the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of his presence with us. What change in our lives does that make? And in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, there's that wonderful list of the fruit of the Spirit, what our lives should blossom into because of our closeness to Jesus. The first great fruit is that of love. I love you. Now you are to love each other, Jesus said, as I have loved you. And as we know, he actually gave his life out of love for us. But he showed us his love in so many different ways and continues to do so today through the fruits in us. Love, joy. Oh, Christian people, I hate to see a miserable Christian. And, yes, I love the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that you go around with a smile on your face all the time, but within you is that positivity, that trust in him that you know he will not fail you and that he gives to you the guidance for life, love, joy, peace, peace in our hearts. When we consider what's happening in the world, and I do thank you for your prayers for the state of our world, we can be terrified. But it is a wasted terror. We need to have peace in our hearts that God knows, he understands, he grieves what's happening in the world. And our part towards peace is to bring the nations to him daily in our prayers as they crop up, as things happen. And there will be peace in the world, peace in the hearts of men and women. Patience, oh Lordy, that's one gift I've got to work on. Patience and kindness. Do be kind one to another. Whatever the circumstances of life, however we feel one about the other, continue to be kind. Goodness and faithfulness. Be true to your friends. Gentleness, and then the last fruit of the Spirit is the one that governs them all. Self-control. That self-control, we might not feel that we can love a certain person, But we can before the Lord say, Lord, I find it difficult, but I will love her, I will love him, I will serve him, I will give to him or her their need. If we are close to Jesus as the branches are of the vine, he will give us that ability to produce these wonderful spiritual gifts of fruit. And that's what Christ wants to see in our lives. But how can we do this? How can our minds and our hearts and our lives do what we know is right and loving and kind and beautiful? And it says in 1 Corinthians 14 to 16, who can instruct the Lord? And then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. As the vine has the branches and is secure in the actual plant, so we have the very mind of Christ through the power of his Spirit in us. I think it's wonderful that our mind can be altered through prayer. So often I have prayed at the beginning of a week on a certain issue or a certain person, and by the end of the week, that prayer has changed. Because the mind of Christ has filtered into my thoughts and has governed my direction. And often what I started was harder than when that prayer ended and it opened up a way to bring peace, joy, and love to that person or that situation. But my friends, to be like Jesus, we have to walk as Jesus walked. In 1 John 2, 6, it says, we must walk, if we say we are his, we must walk as Jesus did. Now, I want to share with you two examples, one from Scripture and one from modern day. There was a woman taken in adultery. She was brought in front of the holy people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all who were present. And she was flung before them. This woman has been taken in the very act of adultery. We should stone her. What do you say, Jesus? Jesus looked at the woman. He looked at the accusers. And he bent down and he wrote on the ground. It's the only record of Jesus writing in Scripture. We don't know what he wrote. Those who were watching looked. Now, Jesus could have said, because legally, in the eyes of the Jewish nation at that time, with their legalities in their religion, it was right and proper that this woman should be stoned. But had he said, yes, she should be stoned, he would perhaps be pleasing those who were listening because of the Jewish thinking. But the Romans had told the Jews they are not allowed to take lives by stoning. He would have broken the law of Rome. And again, Jesus stopped. He wrote again on the ground. What did he write? And as he wrote, he said to them, you who have committed no sin, you be the one to cast the first stone. I often wondered if he'd put certain sins in his writing. Hardness of heart, poorness of thought, unkindness. What had he written? What had prompted these people when Jesus said, you who have not committed any sin, you be the one to cast the first stone. Well, then the people began to filter out the oldest first, the one with the most responsibility in the people left first, and then the younger ones followed. And gradually, there was no one there accusing her. Jesus said to her, and who accuses you? And she looked around, well, who condemns you? And she said, no one, sir, no one. Nor do I condemn you, said Jesus. But go and sin no more. And she left a free woman. Jesus could have been legalistic and had that woman's life taken. Jesus could have been right legalities as far as their faith went in Judaism at that time. But instead, he showed a heart of consideration for that person. He showed a positive view of her and a negative view of the accusers who were putting themselves so uprighteously. Oh, you know, we are so good compared to this wretched person here before us. Jesus had that way of softening, not wiping out the law. The law will condemn, but grace will forgive. But he gently sent her on her way and gave her the freedom that she had. And that is the way that Jesus should work in our lives. Sorry to bring the Salvation Army up again, but so much happened to me in those wonderful 22 years. In the Salvation Army, we had a little clique of people who had difficulty in expressing themselves, who had complaints where they couldn't stop moving, and they were disruptive at one level, but it was not their fault, it was their very being. And there was a gentleman that came, and he had a job to bring the words forward in the right order, and he got terribly upset and would get in a pickle over his condition. I spent a lot of time with this group. We must have time for people. We don't flit in and say, God bless you, hope you're right, love, I'm off, you know. How are you? May I sit with you a moment? And he came this particular day. He was a scruffy man, but he was not dirty, but he was scruffy. And he came to me at the back of the hall and he said, Jenny, I'm in trouble. I said, oh, what's happened? He said, I have to go and see the council on Tuesday. He had a house, like a social house, a little social bungalow place. And he lived on this estate, and the neighbours did not like him because of his behaviour. But it wasn't aggressive, it was awkward. And I said, well, why, what's happened? He said, well, I came back home, he said, and when I went in, someone had come into my front room and they had painted in red paint all across the front of my front room, shocking words, foul words. And he said, I was frightened. I didn't know what to do. And I said, well, look, let me come and see what's happened. So I went home with him. And sure enough, his room had been disturbed. The red paint was on his wall with foul language. And I said to him, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, of course, I will come with you to the council on Tuesday. Tuesday came, I went and I picked him up and off we went to see the council. We sat in this very smart office with this gentleman and with a person from the council who was talking to him and to me. Apparently, it had been complaints of his language. His language was bad. And this man before me, the councillor, so was really taking to pieces this man's character. And I said, you do realise that this gentleman has a condition that he cannot express himself plainly. I said, I've known him for nearly 3 years. I said, he comes to the army, and I said, not once have I heard a swear word from his lips, not once. And a lot of what was being said about him was aggravated because people did not want him in their community. He was an embarrassment to them. And so the gentleman said, excuse me, could you please leave the room? I want to speak to Jenny by herself. So we sat there. He said, aren't you disgusted with him? He said, aren't you shocked by the way he behaves? And I was silent. silent, Lord, what to say? I said, no, I'm not disgusted with him at all, but I am a bit disgusted with you, that you have listened to others and you have not spoken kindly to this man. And I left really steamed up, but self-control. And we walked out of that office together, back to his home. What are we going to do about these swear words on his wall? We had the Corps cadets, it was our young people in the Salvation Army. I got in touch with the officer and I said, I want five people at least with paint, and we've got to go down to that man's house and we've got to decorate that front room and get rid of those words. And sure enough, five wonderful young people between the age of 14 to 18, we all got pots of paint, and down we went to the house with his permission, of course, and we redecorated that front room, got rid of that shocking language on the wall. But you see, we cannot cast aside people who do not fit in with our community. We are to love them. If we are truly a branch of the vine, Christ is in us, and we see people not as the world sees them, but we see them as God sees them. He sees deeper than the outer. And we as his people should do the same. So if we are to be like Jesus, we must walk as Jesus did. And I would like to conclude my thoughts by sharing with those lovely verses I started with. May each one of us perhaps say this in our own hearts. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. Stay close to him, and he will work his wonder through you. Amen. And so we're going to sing a very beautiful hymn now before we come to our communion together. And it's song, Draw Me Close to the Cross. Draw Me Close to the Cross.
Where you are.
We have come now to share together in the lovely service of communion, where we as God's people come close to him, and he in a very special way is close to us. It is here where we see the greatest act of love that was ever given was given by Jesus. The greatest gift of all is that we give our lives as he gave his. He gave it to the ultimate, and as we share in bread and wine, we remember the cost of our salvation. So let us come together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as the church is now complete, in that our young people have rejoined us, and we are here all together to receive of your love in our communion service. Lord, we come first of all recognizing our need of forgiveness, our need of refreshing by your Spirit, and we ask that as we eat and drink together, that we are drawn close one to the other, and that your Holy Spirit will bind us together with such love that can never be broken. So, Lord, accept us just as we are, and use us in your world as you will make us. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he gathered together those he loved. And on this morning, he has gathered us together. He loves us. And we have been drawn together to receive of that wonderful symbolism of the broken bread. Jesus broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me." And so as we do receive the bread, I invite you to eat it as you receive it. But before you do, take it and remember the cost of our salvation in the love of Jesus. And so now I will invite the helper to come. Thank you both. Lovely. Thank you so much. All right, lovely. And that one's for the children. Thank you. Thank you so much. After supper, Jesus took the cup of blessing. And so as he took that cup, he said that the wine within it, "This is my blood, symbolizing my blood, which was shed for you." And as we know, through the shedding of Christ's blood, our sins are wiped away. We are made new, filled with the Spirit, and ready to go out into the world that the Lord might use us there. So I do invite you, as you receive the wine, to hold it, to consider it, and then we will drink together. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let us drink this wine together and give God thanks. Amen. And so, Lord, as we have remembered that you are the vine, we are the branches. And that as the sap rises in the stem of the vine, so this wonderful bread and wine in us brings you closer. We ask, Lord, that as we leave this place today, we may go filled with your spirit, filled with your love, filled with your joy. And, Lord, may we have that self-control to love others, to bring them joy, peace, and all that they need. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. We have a wonderful hymn to go out on. We have a gospel to proclaim. Amen?
Amen.
We have. I'm pleased to hear it. Together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.